AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look ahead to a big weekend across Scottish football. Both Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement speak out against the use of pyro after they, along with Motherwell, get pulled up by the SPFL. On the pitch, Celtic can stretch their lead at the top when they host Hibs, and then over to Rangers to prove Wednesday night was the start of something when they head to Ross County. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Marvin Bartley. Which one of you wants to be Hugh Keevans?
There's
a question you've never been asked before. Your mic's over there for a start.
He's definitely been Hugh Keevans. You can't see his mic, man.
I should get Keevans' glasses.
Are you excited for the weekend?
I'm excited, yeah. I think, listen, a lot of positive about Rangers over the last week.
You've also broke the telly as well on the live
stream.
Happened? He's broke the TV behind him. This is a really bad start. Would you look at this? That expensive new TV.
That's why you didn't go in here.
Listen, this is what happens when Hugh's not here. We're 2 minutes in. We've smashed the telly. Genuinely smashed the TV. Oh, we shouldn't really laugh, should we? It's not ideal.
It wasn't the best positioning, though, that TV. I'm surprised it's taking this song to go.
Right. Anyway, are you looking forward to the weekend?
I am. I think there's a positivity about Rangers. Obviously, Hadji coming in, being a real shining light in that Rangers side. And as for Celtic just keep winning, keep getting the results. So looking forward to the weekend ahead.
And you?
Yeah, I am.
Your night's been made already.
I really am. Listen, three good, really good games on Wednesday. As Scotty touched on there, you know, Rangers, for me, the best they've played so far this season. Definitely domestically. Celtic, again, going to a very, very difficult Pittodrie and winning that game of football. Difficult conditions, you know, the sign of real champions. You can go there and, you know, win games of football like that. And then Dundee as well, getting a massive result. And like you said, it comes thick and fast because there's games again tomorrow and Sunday.
0141-951-1025. That is the number you need. So come on, let us know what you're thinking tonight. What are your thoughts ahead of the weekend? In terms of like off-field news stories, drama, controversy, back to the old pyro argument by the looks of it, because the SPFL have done something they very rarely, if ever, do, and that's pulled clubs up for their use of it. You might remember the League Cup semi-finals, both in the same weekend, both delayed because of the smoke wouldn't clear from Hampden. Well, the SPFL have pulled up Rangers, Celtic and Motherwell for that. That's led to Brendan Rodgers and Philippe Clement today urging fans not to do it. So if you have any thoughts on that, you can do. If you want to go for a more traditional football discussion, for you Celtic fans, it feels like the favourite game at the moment is to try and judge what the squad rotation looks like. Everyone loves Luke McCowan, everyone loves Paulo Bernardo, and there are five good midfielders all trying to get into the mix, and Alex Valle was meant to be first choice in the eyes of many. Then Greg Taylor comes on and has an impact during the week. I throw Adam Ida into the mix. There's a lot going on there, and a big week ahead. Not to say that the Hibs game isn't, but a big game ahead, a couple of big games ahead after that. So what are you expecting tomorrow? What would you do? How would you mix things up? Rangers fans, how confident are you the dust is settling a bit? How confident are you Wednesday can be the start of something rather than a one-off? Because ultimately that has to be the aim. Philippe Clement's been speaking today about the club having to have less loan players. You'll have seen the figures and the sales at the AGM yesterday, which raised a few eyebrows. Václav Černý is on loan. He's having a big impact. Is that one you would like to see? I know we're early on in the season, but do you think that can be a realistic possibility or not? What do you make of the club's use of loan players currently? And anything else, because it's a big weekend, everyone's involved, so why not give us a call on 0141-951-1025 right now and let us know what you are thinking. Any Kelty fans out there? Who are they playing?
They have Alloa tomorrow.
Home?
At home, yes.
You should go to that, Marvin. You said you don't have any plans.
Nah, there's weather warnings tomorrow, mate. So I need to stay in the house, yeah.
You sure?
Yep.
For what type of weather?
For rain, cold. wind.
I think you're making that up.
No, there actually is.
Seriously? Yeah. Rain, cold and wind.
Well, the cold's just my one, but there is rain and wind, yeah. Weather warnings.
Of all the pundits we've got, you hate the cold weather, don't you?
But do you know what? I live in shorts as well, though.
See
you strange.
At East Kilbride the other night on the TV. That cheered me right up.
That made me book a holiday.
Seriously?
Genuinely.
He came home. I messaged
Alien, said, we need to get away. Honestly, I was that cold. I was that cold, and now we're going away on Monday.
What stage of the game?
5-10 minutes in. It was freezing. I don't think the game had started. 5-10 minutes of being out of the car. I actually sat in the car right to the last minute as well.
You could tell watching the game how cold
mate,
it was
so cold.
Everybody's breath.
Freezing. Absolutely freezing. So Lee Miller was laughing at me, but I had the last laugh because, as I said, I'm away on Monday.
There we go. That's so. If you're wondering why Marvin's not on next week, it's because he's booked a holiday. And if you're wondering why Scott's not on next week, it's because he smashed the TV in the studio. Anyone who's watching in the live stream, I'll give you a bit of slack. I think it was a matter of time because everyone has to try and squeeze in behind the desk and in front of that TV.
I've come out of my comfort zone. I usually sit there. Marv,
he's bigger than you, so I thought you were the safe option.
And then there you have it.
Oh no.
It was actually worse. I think it was getting better because it was wider when he first did it.
Yeah, but it's still a big black line down the TV.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, we've made a real mess of this.
Fixable, Gordon.
Is it?
Bit of tape, mate. No one realised.
What are you thinking then, Marvin? What's the main area of interest for you this weekend?
Celtic Hibs. Probably for the wrong reasons when we get to 4:45 and Celtic have ran riot again. But I'm really interested to see the team that Brendan puts out. You spoke about squad rotation there, and their squad is ever so impressive. But when you're winning games of football and you're being rotated in, you know you have to beat your best every single time. It's very, very different if you're lower down the league and you're getting your opportunity thinking, right, I'll get 2 or 3 games to get this right. You've probably got, you know, 60 minutes to get it right in that Celtic team. And that's such a good thing for Brendan to sit there and have players where he can rotate in and out. Like you said, Luke McCowan came out of the team after being brilliant, you know, the game before Aberdeen. That's probably the big one for me. And listen, also Rangers, as I said, their front four the other day were unbelievable. You know, they're magical for Rangers, and it's whether they can carry that on. You know, that's the most important thing, consistency now.
Well, look, Rangers fans, you can answer this, but for Scott to tee it up, is this the first time, maybe, all season, that Rangers fans have been looking forward to a domestic game, or are we not going that far yet?
Yeah, I think you can, obviously, coming off the back of the European result as well, where they were really impressive. That was a performance that the Rangers fans were looking for. I think it was a completely different threat that they posed. They looked a lot sharper, a lot braver, and a lot more aggressive, which allowed their creative players to go and shine. A game which would have been tricky for Rangers previously, but some big performance in there. Hadji, obviously, for me, Czerny again, really lively. Igerman strong, and looks like he's becoming the player that Rangers maybe think he could be because he's getting to run the team, which we spoke about a few weeks ago. So it's looking good for Rangers, but the big game's next weekend as well, so they'll be looking to keep that momentum up going into that.
Come on then, 01419511025. John is a Rangers fan. Has it finally happened, John? 6th of December, are you looking forward to a domestic game?
To be honest with you, he's a Rangers fan. I don't know what everybody else is thinking, but we're papering over the cracks at the moment.
I'll take that as a no. I'll take it as a no.
Good start.
No, I don't want to be negative. I'm just trying to be realistic. Obviously, we are papering over the cracks, and we've obviously got Hadji back, which I think I mentioned on the phone some time ago. That was a bit of a rigmarole regarding him playing so many games, him having to be paid so much. Hadji's come in, made a difference, wants to get the ball down and move it forward. And regarding loan players, you were mentioning at the start of the show, we can't afford to lose guys like Chesney as a loan player because he gets the ball and he looks as if he can do something when he's going forward. So that was my other point, guys. I don't know what you think.
Let's work through them one by one. How much of an impact has Yanis Hadji made?
Yeah, big impact for me. I think when you look at him compared to the rest of the players in that midfield area, for him, he is the one with the real quality with the final pass, looking to slip people in. So for me, he's obviously got fitter. He's had a run of games now, and you're now seeing the best of him. The same with Igerman. I think that's the important thing here. So yes, you can be doom and gloom, but your players coming into the squad who are having a run of games and are now affecting the team for the good. So for me, it is a time to be positive.
It's been a strange time, Marvin, because John obviously alluded to it. The background to this is this contractual thing, and then that has to get sorted out. And you know, he's just there, he's in the building, he's playing for the B team at a time when Rangers are struggling creatively. they square all that up. He comes back for the first game and gets sent off and gets suspended. But then even after that, he was available. There were a couple of I think the Hearts game at home, we were inundated by phone calls from people complaining that Rangers weren't creative enough. I think it was that one. He sat on the bench, he didn't come off it the entire time. So he's in now, I guess, and will he stay in?
Yeah, he'll stay indefinitely. But like you said there, it takes a little bit of time to get up to speed as well. When you have been in the B team and you've been training with them, it's a totally different, you know, standard and different pace to the game in terms of training and matches. And listen, he has made an impact, definitely. But I think the reason for the impact in the game on Wednesday was the freedom that those front four had, the constant rotations that they were allowed to have, the freedom of playing. But also they were intelligent enough to know that, you know, if I start on the left and I go over to the right, then someone needs to fill in for me. And I think that's what really allowed them to go and, you know, really put Kilmarnock to the sword and score six goals. Because had you started against St Johnstone as well, where Rangers actually struggled. So I think it was more to do with the style than the personnel definitely helped with that. But they need to have that freedom week in, week out, because I think they were... they're playing off the cuff, as I spoke about before, you know, in so many games, but it didn't look like that on Wednesday. It looked like everyone's on the same page.
Raskin played that position really well for Rangers during the week, which Marv obviously alludes on in terms of the creative players allowed to go and show that bit of freedom. So I feel that he's another one, a run of games and coming back from injuries and putting a run together. You're now seeing the benefit of that in the side. So, and I think in terms of Inesadji as well, like, his attitude during all this has been... That's why he's had the impact he has, because he's looked after himself. He's played in the B team, and Marv will tell you, we've sat there as players, it's not always easy. That you have to have the right mental attitude to do that. So I think he could be really happy with his contribution, considering how tough a time it probably has been for him as a player.
John, hang on, we'll listen to this together, because you've jumped on the point about loans, and clearly Vaclav Cherny's on loan and he's having a very good impact. And Philippe Clement spoke about it today and says the club need to have fewer players on loan going forward.
One of the points that we talked about is having players on loan. It's something we need for the moment, because we don't have the money to buy Václav for the moment, or we didn't have the money to buy Abda at that moment. But we need to see, and we need to try every year to have one player less on loan and one player more. That's an asset for the club.
It's so early, John, I don't know how possible this is or what your thoughts are. Are you already seeing enough from Cherny to think that that is something Rangers should really push for? Or listening to that and knowing the financial picture, do you think it's unrealistic?
No, I think they've got to try and get Chesney there at the end of the season if the money pile looks to do anything. Because I said earlier on, the guy gets the ball down and goes and looks as if he could do something. He has got a bit about him, so really important to try and find the rest of the money. I know Clement saying about money, that is the problem. It's the money that the club's in, but they can't get good quality players in. But he is of a better quality than what we've got at the moment, so we need to keep him, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's always a difficult one. Philippe Clement outlined it there. You know why you get loans. I know people don't like it, but you're getting a player that's better than what you can afford, sort of. And Is Cherny proving that? Is it pie in the sky for you that he comes? Is it too early to talk about it? How'd you look at his? It's a season long loan deal, of course.
Yeah, I think the difficulty, listen, he started the season ever so well, and if he maintains it till the end of the season, the difficulty will come for Rangers, where other teams will be looking at him. You know, some loans you get...
like Seema, that's a perfect example.
Exactly. Some loans you get like a set fee that's in there and you can trigger it, but it doesn't sound like Rangers have that. No. You know, so... It becomes, you know, the selling club, they're in total control whether they want to take him back, whether they then go to the highest bidder, because there's no doubt about it. If he continues to play the way he is playing, there's going to be other teams interested in, which is going to bump the price up even more. And if he's already out of reach for Rangers at the start of the season, you know, after having this season, you know, it's going to be extremely difficult to make that one permanent.
Yeah, for me, I think if he continues on the form he is, I'd be very surprised if Rangers could afford him come the end of the season. And I think it might be something Rangers look at every year, is where they can find these sort of loans who can come impact for a season, and then, like I said, they're out of your reach because of the financial situation that Rangers are in terms of probably wouldn't be able to afford the transfer fee and the wages. So, listen, it is frustrating for Rangers fans, these players coming and going, but listen, it's the recruitment's job to go and find the next one that can come in and make an impact.
Yeah, I mean, John, I think a lot of these questions today came on the back of that news at the AGM that the likes of Lammers and Goldson, etc., they all went for a combined fee of 800,000. Did that alarm you?
To be honest with you, I wouldn't even begin to actually imagine what's going on with the finances at Rangers. It's the guys like myself and the rest of the fans that put their hard money into the pockets and go and watch the football weekend. We don't know what's going on with the finances. Nobody really knows. It's been like a bit of a revolving door with people coming and going, i.e. chief execs a lot. So, to be honest with you, it's a shambles. And as I say, it's the fans that's putting their money week in, week out to go and support the club. And I don't think it's fair that the fans, because we don't, I mean, you guys probably don't even know what's going on with the finances, how much on debt. So, I mean, I wouldn't really want to comment any more than basically how that's panning out, to be honest, because it is a shambles.
I mean, to be fair, that you do know, that was the whole point yesterday. It's, you know, it's the AGM, it's made sort of public, and I don't think it made for good listening if you were there or reading for any Rangers fans who were checking in on it.
No, it's not, obviously. It's all there for all the fans to see. I think John makes a good point. They are there week in, week out, the amount of merchandise that Rangers fans go out and buy season by season. And it's not as if Rangers just released two kits. There's three, there's four kits. There's a lot of money coming out of fans' pockets. So, listen, it's not good reading, but I think slowly but surely Rangers need to have the right people in place at different levels and you might see a change.
Thanks to John for kicking things off on 01419511025. It's a good time for you to join. And so distracted by the smashed TV screen.
Thanks.
In the background of the live stream, I have to say. So if anyone's watching, hope you're enjoying the added chaos factor to tonight's show. Keep the calls coming though. You want to elaborate on any of that? Philippe Clement talking about loans. John felt that Wednesday's win was papering over the cracks, so he's not too full of optimism for the trip to Dingwall.
The correct TV here.
There you go. We need something to paper over those cracks, that's for sure. And on that note, give us a call just now and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen, Marvin Bartley, and a broken TV here on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Keep your calls coming. Join in with us and talk through this weekend's football. Lots to look forward to. Let's dive back in with William, who's a Rangers fan. How are you, William?
Yeah, not bad. Gordon, Scott and Marvin, how are you tonight?
Good, thank
good,
you.
Mate.
Good.
How
are
you doing, William?
Thinking? What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's about the game the other night, right? I go to a few games and I watch a few games and I've been saying to my mates all season, formation, right? We should be playing with two... All respect to all the teams in the league, right? We should be playing with two strikers and one sitting midfield against every team in the league except Celtic, right? When you look at the game the other night, Command had more problems than they had to worry about, you know what I mean? They had two strikers to deal with. They had Hadji pushing forward. They had Raskin pushing forward a wee bit. The formation should be that. Just go with the two strikers, go with attacking number 10 and one sitting midfield against every team. Why play one striker, say, against St Johnstone at Ibrox? It's madness, you know what I mean? What do the guys think of that?
It's such an interesting one because we debate stuff like this all the time. And you guys, you're the experts, always say, well, look, it's not like just play two up front and that means you're more attacking. Doesn't work that way. It's not that simple. But yet, the other night for Rangers, you know, you get why William thinks it now does look that simple for Rangers.
Yeah, I think in the home games, you had firm belief that Rangers could be good enough in the build-up to get chances to get deliveries into box, which we know, obviously, James Tavernier is a really good delivery. If you've got the threats in the box, it does give you more options. Me, personally, in my career, I enjoyed 3-5-2 more often than not, just because it gave me more options in the forward areas, especially when you have a guy like Hadji who can find the passes and are looking to make the combinations. Same as Cherny, when he cuts inside, he has that bounce pass with a striker and it's out the other side and they have bodies in the box. So for me, I don't see why Rangers can't have two up front, especially at home to teams like, and need to be fair, Kilmarnock are one of the teams over the years who have been very difficult to break down. So I think you need to speak about how effective it actually was from Philippe Clement, but for me, I'm all for it.
But like I say, Mark, it can't be that simple. Like, to just use a really basic comparison, Celtic are very attacking against teams at home and they don't play two up front. Yeah. It's not like you have to do that to become more attacking than you were previously, but is it what Rangers specifically need to do?
I think it's about having more control in the final third. And, you know, as I said, I spoke about that in shows before where I thought Rangers were far too direct. There wasn't really a plan in terms of what they were doing. Although they had Igman and Danilo on the pitch, Danilo was dropping into the 10 more often than not. But it was a rotation. It was a movement of that front four. You know, if you'd have just had two strikes up there and two wide players and they stayed in their positions, Kilmarnock maybe been able to deal with it, but they weren't able to because Hadji would pop up on the left, on the right, in the middle, and they were all rotating. So you know, Kilmarnock defenders didn't know who they were meant to be marking and when they were meant to be marking them. We've seen Kilmarnock before try and go man for man. They tried it at the start of the second half and Rangers just tore them apart, you know, and that's what it was down to. Not just the formation, but how well the players actually played and the freedom they had to float around. As Scotty said earlier, he had Raskin in there, he was willing to hold, that was his job. The Amande started deep, but he was constantly bombing forward and that was giving them another problem as well. So, yeah, I get it, two strikers 100%, but I don't think it would work, for example, if it was Dessers and Igmanen up front together. I really don't. I think Danilo needs to be one of the two to drop into the 10.
William, the previous caller felt that Wednesday was papering over the cracks, but I wonder if are you more positive? Are you excited about a domestic game for the first time? Do you get excited about a trip to Dingwall? Can it be the start of something, or are you not there yet?
Gordon, you know I'm on a million times, right? I'm an honest Rangers man. The league's gone, right? But you might as well be doing with a fight. There's definitely signs of progress there. That wee Moroccan boy we've got, Ignaman, he's going to be a star player for us. He's only 19, that boy. Look at him on night. It was fantastic. His movement, his skill, his link-up play. Hadji as well. It's all shoots, all these shoots of recovery, you know what I mean? I'm not saying because we beat Kamala 6-0, we're on the road to beat Celtic and all that, right? But I tell you what, we're doing with a fight. Get more attacking players on the pitch and let's see where we go from there.
Tell you what, a few of our pundits would like you around, William, if you're knocking 3 years off everybody's age. He's like 22, that. But he's still relatively still young man. We're agreeing on that.
Yeah, and he's taking his opportunity really well. You know, the one he scores from outside the box, I can't remember if it was the second goal, was an absolutely fantastic finish. You know, really drives it into that corner. And I thought he led the line extremely well, and Dessers came off the bench and scores two goals because he now has realised there's pressure. You know, there's two other strikers on the pitch. He's now looks like he's third choice, so he needs to come on and impact things, and you know he does that by coming on and scoring two goals. So listen, if you're a Rangers supporter like William, I think you have to be excited in terms of what's going forward if they can replicate what they did on Wednesday night. What you don't want to see them go back to the same way they played against St Johnstone, where it's slow, you know, there's no real build up to what they're doing. So you know that's the kind of catalyst now for them. Can they repeat what they did against Kilmarnock, not go back to what they did against St Johnstone?
I mean, away is slightly harder generally, I suppose. Is that enough to change anything or dampen optimism? Or
I wouldn't put it past Philippe Clement changing it again.
Seriously?
I wouldn't. Listen, there hasn't been much consistency in terms of team selection throughout the season, but I think that should be a real springboard for Rangers. The confidence should be in the group. So we'll show what Philippe Clement, with one eye obviously on the League Cup final as well, what he's thinking. But for me, you got to stick with the same team. That is as good as they've played domestically all season.
Even if he changes it, I think you can change the personnel, but I think the way they played, I think that's the most important thing. That needs to be the way that Rangers play going forward, because, you know, that's been their best performance for me attacking-wise. So play the same, you know, shape. Yes, you have to change players from time to time because players will come out of form and, you know, injuries or whatever else. But, yeah, I'm with Scotty that they need to be playing that way going forward, home or away.
So it doesn't change tactically or anything because it's away and it's...
No, that's the thing. Yeah. Rangers need to make teams worry about them when they go
that's
and play
the way
them.
It should sort of work.
Exactly, but I feel at times that people haven't been worried about Rangers. They've been going there and thinking, you know, we can take this Rangers team on. Celtic don't change home or away.
The shape domestically has been easy for teams to deal with.
It's been slow though, hasn't it? It's the pace of it all.
Not really moving the opposition team, and then you see on Wednesday night when you get that fluidity in the movement, players playing at the top of their game, guys starting to put a run together, and that is the performance you get. So it's something to work on absolutely for Rangers.
I'm not detecting loads of through the roof excitement about a trip to Dingwall, but I wonder if there are any Rangers fans out there who've been cheered up sufficiently by Wednesday night and are excited for the first time heading into a domestic game. First caller said it's papering over the cracks. Let's switch focus to Celtic and hear from Brendan Rodgers, manager of the month, incidentally. I don't know if that carries huge surprise for anyone. These are his thoughts ahead of another big weekend.
So I'm looking forward to it. We love playing at home. We love the energy. Our last home game, we were absolutely brilliant. Our idea is to bring a similar game. And that's something I'm excited about.
Two Hibs men. Two big Hibs men.
Didn't want to hear that.
In the studio. you played under Brendan Rodgers. He was still there. You were still there when he came in, weren't you? So what are you dreading that? You think Celtic are just bang at it?
Just wanting to get called off really with the rain and the wind and the cold. Yeah, I think, honestly, and as I said earlier on the show, he's going to make changes 100%, but those players are just going to come in and have a real point to prove. You know, Scotty said they've got the cup final coming up as well, so they're going to be hoping for a starting place in that. Yeah, it could be big problems for Hibs tomorrow if they don't set up correctly.
Yeah, I can't see anything other than a Celtic win. I think the impact that players coming off and having a rest out of the team are having, it just seems all to be going Brendan Rodgers and Celtic's way at the moment. Players having Greg Taylor, for instance, we spoke about the other week, and the stick he was getting from the fans, he comes on, he's the difference with his brilliant pass against Aberdeen. And that, when you've got that kind of squad quality, never mind the depth, the quality throughout the squad, Celtic just, who's going to stop them at this moment in time?
That's a good question. Can anyone? Why not give us your thoughts there? James is on the line. How are you, James?
Good evening, guys. Good evening, Scott. Good evening, Marvin.
How's it going, mate?
Hi, James.
Celtic fan, obviously. Brendan was making a comment this the other night about strengthening in the January transfer window. And for me, I believe we should go for another central defender. At the moment, we've got three playing for two. You've got Carter Vickers and Trusty, and you've got Scales. Now, Carter Vickers was injured again this season. He's missed a couple of games. Last season, if you can think back to the Champions League, we only got 2 points because we had one centre-half fit and four out the door. Four centre-halves were injured. We have lots of money in the bank, lots of money. Surely we can go for another top centre-half and make it four fighting for two places. Your thoughts, boys?
I'm just delighted this is the earliest, one of the earliest wish lists for the January window. But I think once you're into December, you can start to drift. What are you thinking? Is that a fair shopping list?
I don't think it's realistic, and I'll tell you why. To go out and try and sign a fourth centre-half, say, for example, the same money you paid for Trusty, their first question is, am I going to be playing? And for me, they're not going to be, because Trusty's and Carter Vickers are the pairing. Scales is right behind that. So even if you come in as number three, you know, it's one of those you think, well, that's probably not the best move for me to make. I think it's extremely difficult. Attacking players is different because you change them all the time in matches. As a centre-half, you know, that pairing is going to stay. The odd game, Scales will come in and play, but they're never going to really get subbed off in matches unless there's an injury or, you know, some sort of suspension. Someone gets sent off in another position, they'll change shape, whatever it might be. But yeah, I think it would be really difficult, James, to get a fourth top quality centre-half in.
Because by the way, if we're talking pure numbers, Stephen Welsh and Mike Navrotsky exist and they're still there. So it would be quite a congested department, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think they would be very spoiled for choice if they managed to get someone of that quality, obviously on that the type of money they would need for that level of player as well, if you're comparing them to Trusty and Carter Vickers. I think there's other areas that Celtic are probably looking at to strengthen in come January. But at this moment in time, every player's affecting the matchday squad, so they're in a great position. I think maybe one or two in certain areas might just be enough for Celtic.
Not a fair worry, James. Brendan Rodgers is doing a good job of keeping everybody happy, but there would be limits to that, wouldn't there?
Absolutely. My concern is we've not got a break this winter, so that's more games played now. But in an 8-game league at the moment, hopefully it'll go to 10 if we get through and get this top 24 position. I just think we've got the money, and was it Alex Ferguson used to say, when you're on top, strengthen. Well, we're on top at the moment, and it's no for sitting with 10, 20 million in the bank. We're talking about 70, 80, possibly 90 million in the bank. I just think a fourth player would be ideal. Settle him in, get him ready for the summer, because you never know what's going to happen, but we don't want any player to get hurt. And if we do get a player out injured, we want to bring in somebody who's good as him or better. That's my point. And I hope we get a win on Tuesday night against Dino Zagreb, and that was seal of season. That's my thoughts, boys.
Yeah, no, I definitely get the point. I really do. And in an ideal world, obviously, as supporters, you always want, you know, to have as many players as you possibly can. I just don't think it will be a realistic one. And I agree with Scott. I don't think it's a position that Brendan would really be looking at. You know, Gordon mentioned the numbers you have there. You've got 5 centre-halves at this moment in time. I think Celtic are getting very, very close to a point now where In order for them to evolve their squad and to keep making it better, I think someone's going to go out for someone else better to come in, if that makes sense, rather than just keep adding numbers to the squad, because it gets to a point where, as Gordon also said, that you can't keep everybody happy or everybody involved. And that's the last thing that Celtic need, is, you know, certain players thinking, I'm never getting in the squad anyway, it makes no difference. So you're probably at the optimum number now in terms of your players. It's just the quality will keep going up and up and up, and, you know, people who have been squad players will not be surplus to requirements, and you're bringing someone else in who's better.
I suppose it becomes about priorities, because I like James's logic. Most clubs should do that. If you're on top, then add that next bit. Strengthen while you're on top was the way James put it. The logic of that's fine, but you still would have to do it in the sort of right areas, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think the right areas is key. I think it's January. Marv will tell you, Marv's been a manager. Getting transfers right in January doesn't always happen. I know Coons, one of the ones who it took him a while, and then this season he's flourished. He's been Celtic's best player for me. But I think at this moment in time, I think there'll be a few areas on the park where Brendan's wanting to strengthen, and defence just wouldn't be it for me.
You know, James mentions, and this is why fans are, they're allowed to do what managers say they're not doing, and this one game at a time stuff. Celtic play tomorrow. James has said, I hope we win on Tuesday. You know, the
I hope the players are thinking forward. That as well. I hope the players aren't thinking about tomorrow or Brendan.
Oh, can we go right,
they're all thinking about Tuesday.
But they will be.
Yeah, exactly. At 3 o'clock.
Try to keep in with the Hibs fans, right? We all get it. It's fine. You're overdoing it. But the. Well, like last weekend, then, is this very similar in that you Tuesday night will be in mind when Brendan Rodgers picks his team? Because that's the bit. Yeah. I know why managers say it. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm the one that's splitting hairs when they're asked about it. It's all about tomorrow. Then you go and pick a team that's full of players that aren't going to play on Tuesday. So it's not all about tomorrow.
Well, have you done that, Marv?
Would I have done if I was at Celtic?
When you managed, did you ever have a game where you looked to the game after and go, oh, maybe?
No chance, mate. I was just hoping the boys turned up.
But seriously, yeah. Brendan Rodgers' shoes. Because you saw it last weekend.
No, you would. You would definitely look forward to the Tuesday game, and having that in mind, you'd make changes for the Saturday's game, because I think Celtic are in a position now where they could make, well, we've seen them do it, like 4 or 5 changes,
six,
and still be really, really
that's
strong
what
team.
The performance does to a whole squad, not just the starting 11, and that's what you're seeing with this team.
Exactly. Ingles could come in as £11 million, Luke McCowan, Adam Eder, Greg Taylor, that's 4 there. So,
Thank you very much to James. Before we go any further, and this is a great time to call, actually, so do jump on the phones just now whilst I run this past you.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
Very much Cash for Kids time, underlined by the fact that I came here straight from the Cash for Kids lunch. An incredible amount of money raised. Seriously, like hundreds of thousands of pounds raised.
Nice blazer you had on as well.
Sensational. I took that off before I came in here. Someone told me I looked like somebody James Bond, so I decided to ditch it. What I did leave behind, though, was Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevans, and Gordon DL. Hugh might have sneaked off at some point earlier. I'm not too sure about his whereabouts. But I'm just going to be interested to see how they appear tomorrow on the show and what level of match
Mark
fitness.
Will be all right. Gordon will be a fitness test needed, definitely.
I am concerned about it. However, on a more serious Cash for Kids related note, you might have heard there's a certain cup final coming up 15th of December. If you've not, then I don't know where you've been. Celtic taking on Rangers in the League Cup at Hampden, and you could be there. Thanks to Cash for Kids, we have got a pair of VIP silver debenture tickets for Celtic fans and a pair for Rangers fans. And all you need to do is enter a raffle and you could be the winner. It's part of Mission Christmas, so you'd be getting 2 tickets for, well, 2 of the hottest tickets in towns with all the trimmings that go along with VIP silver debenture tickets. And you give a bit to charity as well. So it is a proper win-win situation. If you're a Celtic fan, text Celtic to 84901. If you're a Rangers fan, text Rangers to 84901. You need to do it before 8 p.m. on Thursday, the 12th of December. So the text costs 1 standard network rate message and then a £10 donation to Cash for Kids. We're talking children right here, right in our communities that really need our help this Christmas. And every penny of that, 100% of it goes back to the children that need it. You've done your bit. You might feel good about yourself knowing the difference that you've made, and you could walk away with the tickets as well. It's over 18s only. T's and C's on the Cash for Kids page at Clyde1.com. So that's Celtic to 84901 or Rangers to 84901. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We've got Scott Allen and Marvin Bartley here. I said at the start of the show one of them was basically impersonating Hugh Keevans tonight. He's usually here on a Friday, and Scott Allen sat in his seat, smashed the TV straight away. But I have heard from the great man, so he's back, he's home, he's safe. Red good. Wine was had, red wine was enjoyed, but he's called it a day at the Cash for Kids lunch. He's
back up, the red wine.
He's back up the road. And the musical turn to young men like yourselves, maybe lost in you, was Marty Pillow. Seriously.
Sing a song that he's
Is that wet, wet, wet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Wet, wet, wet.
You've never heard... just say, yeah, wet, wet, wet there. Okay, yeah, I'm with you now.
Played the big hits. You can imagine what sort of demographic in the room that went down well with.
Looking back, is that one of them? No.
That's not one that I know of. Anyway, Hughes texted to say that there were two famous bankies at the Cash for Kids. Marty Pellow was the second one. I'm home. But he says Wilson and DL don't look great, apparently.
Oh, no. Oh,
it's going to be ominous. Ominous times for tomorrow. Let's bring in Andy, who's on the line. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, Colton, thanks. How yourself?
All good. What have you got for us?
Evening, gents. A question for Marvin first before I get my wee opinion. Mm-hmm. Marvin, as a manager, did you have in your mind at all times your cup final team?
They make a cup final first, Andy.
Cup final, wow.
Questions that.
Sorry, Marv, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your go-to team.
Yeah, I think, yeah, as a manager, for example, if you're asking me, I was Rangers Celtic manager now and there's a cup final coming up, I would definitely have a team in mind that I'd want to play based on what we've done against them before, what I think has worked, and yeah, based on what weaknesses they have and strengths. So yeah, definitely have a team in mind.
That is what you mean, Andy, I take it. You know, you're asking, does Brendan Rodgers have his cup final team in mind? Andy? Hello, Andy. We'll get back to Andy. I think that was clearly what was in it. And that's kind of goes back to what we said before the break. You know, that Celtic will be clearly managing this at the moment, won't they? Mm-hmm. With tomorrow and then Europe and then the cup final. Incidentally, they have a longer gap, don't they, than Rangers do playing on Thursday.
Yeah, I imagine. Yeah, listen, he'll definitely have a team in mind for that cup final. It probably won't be too dissimilar to the team he plays on Tuesday, if I'm honest. You know, as long as nobody picks up any niggles, etc. So, yeah, and to Andy's point, he'd definitely have that in mind, and that's why you probably see a few players rotated in tomorrow that may not start in that cup final. But listen, if you come in and do extremely well, who knows? Anything could happen. You have to be prepared and be ready when you're playing for Celtic.
Andy, I think we've got you back. Is that the gist of it? You know, does Brendan Rodgers already have the cup final team in mind, and then everything's tailored towards that?
Obviously, I wasn't speaking about the actual cup final next Sunday. I was speaking about just the best team.
Right, okay.
I was involved in football at a lesser level, and I always, no matter the size of squad, and I always remember you would always have your best 11 in mind. And it's that point that a lot of people have been speaking about in the last couple of weeks, just in terms of Engels and Hatate against either Bernardo or McEwen. I've said on the programme before that I think McEwen will be the next Celtic captain. I think there's a long-term plan for him when McGregor leaves in a couple of seasons. However, For the Celtic team, I've got a view on this. I don't know if that guys will agree. But see Engels, Johnston and Kuhn on one side, and Taylor, Maeda and Tatati on the other side. I think they're very, very effective together. Combinations and stuff like that. So many times Celtic get underlaps, overlaps, and those three involved, they know what each other's doing. I think they're a Celtic start on Tuesday. That team, the team that started the both Champions League games, they'll probably start next Sunday as well. Which I think means that probably tomorrow they'll start most of them. Maybe Hatate will get a rest. I'm not sure, but I think that's Celtic's best team. Don't get me wrong, Bernardo and McEwen have got stuff to contribute. But if, in terms of the Celtic Cup final team, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think you made a good point, especially with the combinations with the certain profile of players. I think for me, The big one is between Bernardo and Engels come that big occasion in the 15th of December. I think for me at this moment in time, Bernardo is ahead of Engels, but Brendan Rodgers does like the difference that Engels gives, because when he first came into the team, he was picking up pockets and playing clever passes, and he just fell off a little bit. But that, I'm putting that down to just adapting to life at a club like Celtic, the pressures that come with that, obviously the amount of games that come thick and fast. But for me, I would have Bernardo ahead of Engels.
Yeah, I think it's close between the two. I wasn't surprised to see Bernardo start against Aberdeen. I know it might sound silly to some, because of the actual conditions, I think it made it a lot more of a physical game. You saw a couple of passes that, you know, Celtic were trying to play and they were being overhit, and you're coming into a lot more duels than, you know, Celtic normally are involved in. So I wasn't surprised with that at all. Between those two, it's very, very tight. As I said before on the show, you know, Engels coming in for the money that he has, I think it gives him that slight edge, whether that's right or wrong. Again, he's a fantastic footballer alongside that. And as Scotty said, he has ups and downs because he's a young player. But, you know, I think if it comes to the real big games, I expect Engels to start.
At what point can you really push into that, though, and become a player that will start the cup final because you've done so well in those other games? For players like Luke McEwen, He seems to be the one that people are going to. What does it take to break that ceiling, or is it already open?
I think it's very, very difficult, if I'm honest, for him to find himself ahead of, you know, in a starting berth at this moment in time at Celtic. I think you look at Atate, for me, I love watching him play in terms of being a centre midfielder. I think he's done ever so well for the whole time, the longevity he's been at Celtic. I think he's been a real, real top performer. Luke McCowan's come in this short time and done himself no harm at all. He's been absolutely brilliant also. But I just think it's a difficult one, Gordon, at this moment in time. I think anyone as well, if you're the Celtic manager, it's easy sitting at home saying, oh, I would start him. But if you had that one game, what would you just start in 3B? I don't think you'd be in it.
When you say this moment in time, does it mean forever? And if it doesn't mean forever, what does it mean? How does it ever change?
I think it's going to be as long as Hatate's at the club. I think McCowan will be behind him.
And injuries.
And that's it. You get your opportunity. I think if everybody's fit, though, in football, not everyone can be that starter. Not everyone can be that number one for the position. You have to understand sometimes my role within this squad is to start the odd game, come off the bench and impact it, and be happy doing that if you're in a successful team. That's the position I think that Luke McCann has at this moment in time. He will start certain games, come in and do extremely well, but that'd be to rest the Hatates and anybody else. But when it comes to the big games, those one-off games, I can't see him at this moment in time starting ahead of Hatate.
No, not for me. I think you've got to take your hats off to him. His performance coming off the bench has been fantastic for Celtic. I think it's a mentality thing, like Marv says, knowing that you're not a number one starter. Mentally, that can be tough, especially with the effect you've seen that he had in Dundee. But his performances from the bench and even the games he has started, he's been excellent, probably done better than I expected him to do so early in his Celtic career. But I think longer term, if there is injuries or someone moves in, there'll be a chance for him. They're running games that we speak about that some of the Rangers players are. There might be 4 or 5 games and he comes in and really needs to make that place his own.
Thank you very much to Andy. It's only big games around here. We don't have games where we can rotate and take our foot off the gas. This is a cup final like any other, and we're going to play this next.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
That's right, Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to take on Marvin Bartley or Scott Allen, who's having a pretty bad night already. So let's see if you can make it even worse for him and win a signed ball. And don't forget, every question that you get right this week is worth a tenner to Cash for Kids. So you can do your bit there as well. 0141 951 1025. And the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Bartley and Scott Allen are here on 0141 951 1025. Still another hour or so for you to join in, so please do. A big weekend. What are you thinking on the pitch? We've been looking at Celtic's team for tomorrow with Champions League and Cup Final in mind, and it's all about Luke McCowan this week and how these guys get the appropriate game time. Rangers fans, are you excited? That's about it. That's the thought process that we're trying to work our way through tonight. Has Wednesday got you excited for a domestic game for the first time this season, or are you not quite there yet? Will he keep the same team to try and build on Wednesday night? We can move on. Both managers having a bit of a go at the use of pyrotechnics. I know lots of you feel passionately about that. So Brendan Rodgers, Philippe Clement coming out and essentially asking fans to not do it. Do you agree with them or do you disagree? Give us a call just now, and there's every other team involved at the weekend. So pick up that phone, whoever you support, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Big night
on Beat the Pundit.
Apparently you have lost only 2 of your 10 games this season, Marvin. That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
It's not bad. Not
Scotty's
bad.
Decent as well, isn't he?
He's only played a few, and he needs to climb. He needs a win tonight would start boosting it. He's 3-2 in his favour.
Couple of tie breaks in.
So we need a bigger.
Don't count, do
we? We need a bigger. What was the one? Was it last night?
No, last week.
But yeah. Last night Gordon's was like, how many shots on target have there been in the Premiership season? I think the caller said 200. It was like well into the thousands. I was something like that.
That's not so. I'll give 200. I had like, was it yellow cards I had?
Oh, you're terrible.
It was like
well.
20 yellow cards, something like that.
Was it?
It was ridiculous. 100 and something.
Terrible. Anyway, Craig is on the line. How are you, Craig?
Hi, not bad, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
No, just on my own and just listening to the podcast and stuff.
And I like this though, Craig, because. Which team do you support?
Hearts for yes. My sins, I'm afraid.
Good, we can get a Edinburgh derby going. Two Hibs men.
Yeah.
in the studio.
He sounds confident though.
Do you know what's funny about this, right? See just the way like this show works. You know, there'll be accusations of bias thrown around all over the place. It's almost like people are very selective. No one ever complains that we've got a pro-Hibs bias when you two are on together. It's funny that. It's almost as if people don't actually care. It's just when it's about their team.
It's because we're
Glasgow,
so low in the
Glasgow
league.
In the West.
Anyway, that would be good, Craig, eh? Bragging rights for the Jambos over one of these two.
Yeah.
We'll maybe talk football once we're done, but I'll toss the coin first. Christmas coin, it's going strong. Every night I want to eat it and I don't. And I'm now thinking it might go out of date.
Nah, you'll be fine.
I think the foil keeps
I've never
it fresh.
Seen one of them go out of date.
That's true, probably just keep it for next Christmas.
You'll be alright.
So it's got heads written on one side for Scott Allen and the tails for Marvin
Bartley. I'm not sure
how.
I'm interested to see how you're going to flick that. You'll test. That's not bad.
Tails, it's you as well, Marvin.
Come on,
you're up.
Oh, I thought I was
Marvin against Craig. Oh, so
good luck, Craig.
We'll
come on, Marv.
Is give. No, you're supposed to cheer on.
Nah.
The other Jambo? Contestant, I would say.
Not after he's broken
yeah,
the TV as
that's
well.
True. Right, give Marvin something else to listen to. Christmas music, hopefully, and that means Craig. It's just you and I. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Right. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts. Now, Todd Cantwell moved from Rangers to which English team?
Blackburn.
What year was VAR introduced in Scottish Premiership?
2021.
Who was the last player to score for the Scotland men's team?
Oh, begin.
Which team are second alphabetically in the Scottish Premiership?
Celtic.
Chris Doolan replaced which Partick Thistle manager?
Ian McCall.
Who was Rangers number 9 before Dessers?
Colac.
Name the Celtic player based on the clubs they played for. Anderlecht, Nice, Leicester, Leeds.
Schmeichel.
Okay. Let's bring back Marvin Bartley. How are you, Marvin? Are you ready?
I'm good. Decent. Some Michael Jackson.
I thought it was a stick on to be Christmas music.
No, it was decent.
I told you that. Today I've got a very childish outlook on these things. My birthday was yesterday, mm-hmm. and only after that do I start Christmas in my head. So I get in the car 9 o'clock this morning, and it's almost like a ceremonial switching on of the first Christmas song of the year. I will not entertain it up until my birthday.
What, your
over.
Own personal Christmas song, or just the radio?
Oh no, it was actually the radio this morning. I wouldn't usually, but Mrs. Duncan's had Christmas radio stations on since about September. So it was on in the car, and I thought, do you know what, I will go for
Leave
that
this.
But that's the first.
What's your go to Christmas song, like Scotty said?
That's tough, actually, that, isn't it? What is the best Christmas song?
Mariah Carey.
I like Driving Home for Christmas.
That's not bad. Yeah, that's a good shout. Step
that.
Into Christmas. But Elton John.
Elton, yeah.
But anyway, we got distracted.
Sorry, Craig.
Sorry. Who's even playing? You?
Scotty.
Is it? Right. 30 seconds on the clock, Marvin. Same questions. Your time starts now. Todd Cantwell moved from Rangers to which English team?
Blackburn.
In what year was VAR introduced in the Scottish Premiership?
2022.
Who was the last player to score for the Scotland men's team?
Robertson.
Which team are second alphabetically in the Scottish Premiership?
Celtic.
Chris Doolan replaced which Partick Thistle manager?
Ian McCall.
Who was Rangers number 9 before Cyril Dessers?
Defoe.
Name the Celtic player based on the clubs they played for. Anderlecht, Nice, Leicester, Leeds. Three, two,
Schmeichel.
That was too long.
How do you think it went, Craig? How do you think it went?
I don't know. I'm raging about the Scotland question.
I know, Craig. I know. I could hear it in your voice. He said Kenny Dalglish. I'm like, Todd Cantwell moved from Rangers to Blackburn. You both got it. Well done. I genuinely don't even know if I'd have been confident in this, because I know it's recently, but I just would have thrown me off, I think. But it was 2022 for VAR.
Yeah.
So Marvin got it and moves one in front. This is you know, Craig, you know, it was a last minute winner for Andy Robertson. So he is the answer. 3-1 to
Lucky
Marvin.
Craig,
Craig, the thing is, I had actually quite high hopes for Craig, because he got Celtic for second alphabetically, but so did you. He got Ian McCall, the Partick Thistle manager, but so did you.
That's
so by this
one.
Point, you're two in front. Neither of you got Rangers number 9. Prior to Dessers, it was not Jermaine Defoe.
I thought it was Colac.
Oh, did you get it, Craig?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The producer just shouted in my ear and said,
"Yeah, I heard that." But I said, "Who's that third person coming into
did
the game?"
Did you hear that as well? Yeah. That never happened before.
See, I was thinking Craig sounds so
different. See, we're so good. They usually leave us to our own devices. I genuinely didn't hear Craig. Get it? Brilliant. All right, Craig's pulled one back. Antonio Colak.
That's a problem.
Name the Celtic player based in the clubs they played for: Anderlecht, Nice, Leicester, Leeds, Schmeichel. You both got it, which means Marvin wins by one. Devastated.
Good game, mate. Colak was a great answer.
You didn't seem great. I know. That's
great,
what I mean.
Answer.
I thought Marvin got a bit too long for the Celtic answer right enough at the
end. That's a good point. But to be fair though, Craig, I had only said one word of the question when your clock ran out. Is that not fair?
I'll give you that.
Because I read the full question after your time finished, or almost the full question. So I would love
good
to
game.
You know, I would love to strip him of his of his victory, but I can't. Right, come on, let's get a bit of needle going, a bit of an Edinburgh derby on here. Both at the bottom of the table, so I don't know who's going to finish above who, Craig.
That's the question. I don't know. There's a bit of hope in there that we'll get good again, but I'm hoping Shanklin gets back in the goal scoring tomorrow, and that should take us up the table. Hopefully,
that has to be that's the Christmas wish for every Hearts fan.
Shanklin to score.
I mean, it's getting.
Have things improved, Craig, since the new manager came in, would you say, in terms of the way you play?
Without a doubt, I would say, without a doubt. It's just a lot more easy in the eye, and you can see there's more of a purpose in the way that they're playing, you know?
Yeah.
Are you asking because you don't agree?
No, I thought the same. I've seen a couple of the Hearts games, and I think the same. I think they've got a different style to them now. I'm not saying there's an improvement. Obviously, you know, Nasey was struggling. They're still down at the bottom of the league, but in terms of, there's been definitely a change in style of play. They're trying to get more of an identity. But yeah, like Craig said as well, they need to win games. Craig, where are you not going to end up, mate, in the league? Where do you actually think you're going to finish position wise? Where would you be happy with?
You're wanting me to say top six or in the
European. No, mate, I'm not.
January's going to be massive.
I'm not. Yeah.
I want to get this Christmas and New Year out of the way, and then we'll take it from there. Get into the transfer window. Hopefully, though, I want top six, but you got to be realistic after the way we've started.
More importantly, will you finish above Hibs?
Yeah, out of the. Oh yeah, without a doubt. That's without question. Yeah.
I don't even know if he'll fight you on that though.
Nah, they won't finish above. Hibs are flying now,
are they?
Yeah, 4 points from two games. Drew Aberdeen and beat convincingly Motherwell, who are up there.
That's because Motherwell are charitable and always give teams that need the result exactly what they're looking
well,
for.
Well, hopefully more teams do that.
Seriously. I'm thinking about the sort of recent fixtures, Craig, where at home to Aberdeen is obviously a tough game, the way they've gone, and it's a point fine. Bruges, before that, it's a European game. Before that, it's Celtic come to town. And you know what can happen there. Before that, it's a trip to Ibrox. Before that, it was Europe again. For the first time in a long time, I'm wondering if tomorrow, a home game against Dundee, is the type of fixture that the fans won't really accept anything less than a win. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to turn this season around, is that the type of fixture that you really need to do something in?
I would. If you'd asked me that on Tuesday or Wednesday before Dundee hammered Motherwell, and I probably would have said yes, but... It's always a difficult fixture against Dundee. We always seem to be quite close whenever we play them. So, I do think it's going to be a better run of fixtures. Like you said, we've had hellish fixtures like the past few weeks. So, I think it's a better run of fixtures. Hopefully get some confidence up, get a few goals, because the amount of chances we get during the game and we don't convert them is just criminal at the moment. So, let's get that sorted and then take it from there, really.
See, you know, you do need the fixtures to fall a certain way, and it doesn't. I'm not making excuses, but I think is it about 10 games or something since Neil Critchley was in? I've pulled up the results here, and obviously a 4-0 win against St Mirren and beat Nicosia, so we remember it got off to that good start. A draw in the derby, as you two will well know. As much as there haven't been wins, I'm not sure any of them can actually be considered bad results.
No.
When you look at the teams they've been playing, like genuinely, is there any result in there that you would say that's a shocker? I don't think there is.
No, I definitely agree with that. But have they got the next league games are Dundee and then Kilmarnock?
Dundee home, Kilmarnock away, and then St Johnston home, and as you guys know, Derby at home.
But those next three games, for taking the Derby out of it, those next three games, a goodwill will go. They need to pick up... Mm-hmm. some points really, really quickly. Like you said, they've had a real difficult run. I think the Hearts fans understand that, but those next three games are vital. They have to get, you know, at least two wins for me.
Anything to suggest that Lauren Shankland won't just be left in the team to try and come through this? The Hearts have the appropriate options to
leave him in.
To not
leave him in
100%.
I think, listen, I know he's missed a penalty the other day and I know it was tough, but his all-round game's actually been really good. And that's been the thing is, you know, he's not scoring goals. Everyone knows that as a striker, that's your main job, but he's not been performing badly at all for Hearts. So, yeah, leave him in and you just got to hope he finds that form, as Craig said.
Okay, well, thank Craig for his time. It was close, but not close enough. And it's another win for Marvin Bartley.
That was tough.
On Beat the Pundit. It is amazing how Beat the Pundit is like so sort of out there. Again, I said I was at the Cash for Kids lunch today and someone came straight up and said, I've played Beat the Pundit before, but I lost to Hugh Keevans. I can't believe you're admitting that publicly.
Hugh's not done too badly this season.
I've seen Hugh get a 10 out of 10 here. Remember that?
He is much better. Someone's... A few people now tweeting. I don't know where you people have been. You're not watching since the start of the show. Why are you just tuning in at 7 o'clock? But Paul says, just switched on and the live stream. What happened to the TV screen? I expected DL to break it. The wee bam has tweeted, who broke the telly? My money's on DL. Exactly. None of you thought that Scott Allen was capable. He's a hooligan and he's smashed up the place. But do you know what's funny? Everybody in this company is at that Cash for Kids lunch. So it will be a while before news of the broken telly makes its way to somebody who needs... They won't care right now.
Yeah,
so it might be the best time for it.
I think that, because they'll be... Minds on other things.
We're kind of left to our own devices in here.
Yeah. It's fun while it lasted, guys.
You were just getting into the swing of things after tonight as well. Anyway, right. Back to the phones. 01419511025. Give us a call. Whatever you're thinking ahead of the weekend, a good weekend. I mean, if you can't enjoy your football at this stage, we're just ramping up. There's so many games. I mean, look at this next 9 days where we'll go Premiership, Europe, League Cup final.
It's going to be class.
What a place to be. Unless, Hugh, you're a Motherwell fan.
Gordon, good evening.
How are you feeling?
You're lucky you didn't get me a leather beat there. If you recall my conversation with you after the St Johnstone game...
That's what you called it. We all said you were too critical after a win. Does that mean you saw this coming?
No, I want to say point proven.
Maybe. You could do that.
I'm not. I'm just coming on to speak about it. Now, I, for one, don't want to see the manager get sacked. What I would like to see Stuart Kettlewell doing is changing his arguments towards, especially the fans, because... I know he'd have got the fans the other night when he's walking off the pitch. I'm sorry, the fans of Trafford to Dundee, watch that. Isn't acceptable. And it's not just that game. He seems to want to stick to this three at the back and playing players out of position. Now, he brings in Tavares the other night, who, with the greatest of respect, can't get a game for Hibs. Hibs are at the bottom of the league, and we go and start him. Now, there's something wrong there. You could see he's attempted challenge the other night before Dundee got the first goal. I wouldn't even put a schoolboy wouldn't even do that. A six-year-old, they would actually go through the ball, take the player, have a challenge. Does it track back? Does it do nothing for the team? Waste of shot, in my opinion. You can see Dundee's three goals, apart from the one that got deflected. Three goals came down our right-hand side because we didn't have the cover down the right-hand side. And we have two right-backs sitting on a bench. And he's got a player, Tavares, who doesn't track back, doesn't really offer the team much, as he'd done in the semi-final, offered us absolutely nothing, and he starts with him. Now, playing two up front, Gordon, you'll realise when I spoke to you the other week, I've always wanted two up front, and it's always Stam he brings off between the 65th and 70th minute, every single game. Now, can the guy not last 90 minutes, 80 minutes? Then we get the manager come out every single week, belating. He says, I'm not going to benege, I'm not going to blame MD. Yeah, you do. You blame everybody else. He says with a good 15 minutes. The game lasted 97 minutes the other night, 94 minutes. Then you go and look at the stats. And we had 26 attempts at target, 26 attempts at goal, 6 on target. 3 of them came after 90 minutes when we were 4-1 down. Long range shots. 2 of them were probably Stam hitting his first shot, then getting his rebound and scoring with it. So we had realistically 1 or 2 attempts on target in the full game. Yeah, Dundee, I think they had 6 and 4 on target, and he scored with 4 of them. Not a bad conversion rate for me. His tactics is shocking. Plays 3 at the back, not clearly not working. definitely not working with the goals we're losing. We were lucky to get a draw against St Johnstone because they got a VAR check with their second goal. Otherwise, we were getting a point out of that.
Was it not a win against St Johnstone?
But Gordon, that's what I'm saying.
You're trying to take it away now.
No, what I'm saying is we were lucky to get the win. And I did say that to you. St Johnstone, we were 2-0 up against St Johnstone. And we didn't deserve to be. We 10 minutes in that game. In the first half, St Johnstone were by far the better team. 100% were the better team. And they came out the second half and attacked us. They'd done the first half. And we do as we always do. Sit back. We'd done it the semi-final. We sat right back. Just encourage players to go on to us. On you go, keep coming. And it isn't good enough. Against St Johnstone, we had 39% possession at home with one striker up front and seven defensive players. If you go and look at the team selection over the last three games, six defensive players, 7-7. Unacceptable.
But like it, but that was the point on that day. Let's not argue too much about the St Johnstone game, but like it or lump it, luck or not, that was a win. So if you want then the team to play more attackers, which was sort of tried the other night, and then how bad was the defence the other night, Hugh? So is it not, I wonder what are the solutions? Because if, you know, people were calling for a more attacking sort of lineup, that was what was picked the other night, and that certainly didn't work either.
But what I'm saying is he stick to this three at the back that clearly isn't working. Now, we meant to have five in midfield. We definitely did not have five in midfield. Definitely not. Mm. You can, so I've always go back to four at the back, have a strong, Blaney's sitting on a bench. I don't understand why Blaney's sitting on a bench. Balmer, I understand his point with Balmer going down in the box and getting his head knocked. 100% get where he's coming from there. But we've got about 7 or 8 seconds they're attacking us to defend, and we don't.
What do you guys think? Because like, Hugh and I are looking quite close at it. My guess would be the perception from the outside is, if Motherwell are sixth, that's fine. Just shut up and take it and sort of move on. But Hugh's looking at it and thinking that these are worrying signs and that things are only going to get worse from here.
I agree in terms of being sixth in the league. You know, that's a really good position for Motherwell. Regardless of how things have been recently, over the course of this league to date, you know, they got the sixth most points in the best points in the league. In terms of the game the other day and the goals conceded, for me, they're individual mistakes. Gordon makes a mistake by letting his man inside on the first goal and he whips it into the far corner. Wilson, the one you're talking about with the head knock that happens on the corner, lets Scott Tiffany come inside, which is a cardinal sin as a defender, should keep him going down the line. Balmer gets absolutely bounced off the ball by Simon Murray for the fourth goal as well. The deflection you take away. So those three individual mistakes aren't down to a manager. They're down to individuals. Now, I've been a defensive player myself. The last thing you do is let somebody come inside. They all know better than that. And yet they allow that to happen. So that can't fall upon the manager. That has to fall upon the players. And I get what people say is the manager puts the players out there. I understand that. But they have to do better in those situations. And you get punished for that. As you said, you know, it was too little too late for Motherwell because they had a lot of shots on target after that. But I don't think it's down to playing three at the back or four at the back. He's decided to go over back three. You're sixth in the league. You've got a few injuries at this moment in time. I don't think, you know, people should be coming for Shook Kettlewell, because if you're bottom of the league or second from bottom, totally understand it. But without being disrespectful, I think, you know, if the league was to end today and Motherwell finished sixth, I think that is a really, really good season for them.
Yeah, I think if you look at Motherwell as a whole this season, it's been a pretty decent start. Obviously, the injuries they had earlier in the season, they came through that and picked
still
up a lot
do.
Of wins.
Yeah. You look at Noel McGinn and O'Donnell.
That's what was just my point. They're going through a bad spell at the moment, but I have full faith that Kettlewell, once you get your McGinns back, your natural leader, Stephen O'Donnell, Sam Nicholson, who's a different threat, obviously, in an attacking area, I think they'll be fine. I felt Tony Watt in the game actually played well the other night. He brought guys into play, so I think it's just a spell. I think once they get the players back, they'll be a different side.
Hugh, don't worry, I'll have a word with these two in their Hibs connections and see if they can pick up Gier Tavares and head back along to Easter Road. I'll see if I can sort that out for you whilst we take a breather and take more of your calls next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Scott Allen are here. 0141 951 1025. If you want to get involved on the phones, and please do, it's time for a full-time teaser. This is much more straightforward. If you haven't heard last night's show, make sure you go and listen back wherever you get your podcasts or watch the live stream back. Last night's was Ant and Deck themed. And it was players called Ant or Deck that had scored in the Scottish Premiership.
Oh,
really imaginative.
Declan
Gallagher. Ante Palaversa. Anthony Ralston.
Stokes.
Oh, it was the last X amount. But you would have been right, to be fair. This is more sort of straightforward. Difficult though, from Ryan Preston. Can you name the last eight different League Cup final losing captains? So someone will do it in nine days' time. Can you name
David Gray?
Let me finish. Can you name the last eight different League Cup final losing captains? Who are they?
David Gray.
How do you know that?
Move on.
Ross County.
Yeah.
Who in the team?
Yeah. Font's got an assist for them, then signed for them in the summer.
Do you play badly?
No. Nah.
Schalke was good that day.
Alex Schalke. Yeah, yeah. Did you play as well?
No, I was watching. I was watching.
What do you mean?
I was.
A bit like, were you a Hibs player?
No, I was. At Celtic by that time.
Oh, still been in the Hibs, anybody? Okay.
James Tavernier?
No, I'm not finished with that.
Oh, sorry.
How bad was it when you lost that final to Ross County?
It was horrific. Do you know what? Because we were the better team. Yeah. And they just broke on us. And as I said, they put like a cross. And I think Liam Fontaine went to stretch.
I think I was there actually.
And he kicked it onto their player. Their player scored. And then he ended up signing for Ross County.
Ooh, yeah. Conspiracy. So,
definitely. That's the game I elbowed Brian Graham in the face.
Is it?
And then he signed for Hibs in the summer.
That was nice of you doing that.
I know, but we're friends now.
They were on the show together. And it was like they had been reunited after the first time since he elbowed them in the face.
I actually felt really bad because it was one of those that I knew what I was doing, but I didn't want to make that connection. And as soon as I made the connection, I was like, oh no, he's in trouble and I'm red. Yeah, it was horrible, mate.
Are you off in the VAR era?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
I need to try and find it. I think I tried at the time.
Go on. I'll get it for you next time, man.
I would quite like to see that.
Yeah, no, I was
I've always thought you're a thug.
VAR,
it was a big daft laugh that he had. You know,
I remember
big
leaving the
giant.
The first time he joined Hibs.
Slow you down,
small sided games.
In training, did he?
Yeah, first day. I just remember running about. Big side. What size of feet are you?
10 and a half.
Right down the side of the boot.
You're moving too quickly, man.
I'm not surprised. Anyway, so you've got David Gray.
Paul Hanlon.
Yes, there's a bit of a theme here. 2021. Is that the
Kyogo
Hibs have just scored? Celebrations are still ongoing. And
yeah, that's when all the smoke was over the pitch.
Are you involved in that one?
Yes, we should have had a penalty in the last minute.
Oh, really?
It was a push on Ryan Porteous.
God, everyone's getting their moans out tonight, aren't they? Right, okay.
Me.
Genuinely.
Yeah, I bet.
No. Hand on heart. I didn't check this list before. I swear he's on the list.
St. Johnson.
How late did I arrive today from the Cashford Kids lunch? I was eating my chicken burger before we came on. I didn't check this list. You are one of the last eight losing League Cup final captains. Livingston, talk me through that one.
That's the one I was on.
This is an absolute grilling for you.
No. That's the famous one where he played wing back
against Rooney.
Can you imagine?
Oh man, honestly, just tracking him back, man. We're like 33. I knew that was the end then.
Anyway, we'll get back to that question. Can you name the last eight different League Cup final losing captains? Someone will join that list next week. So it's the last eight different players. So obviously there might have been guys repeatedly in there, but let's go back to the phones where Mark is a Rangers fan. What are you thinking as a Rangers fan tonight, Mark?
Well, I'm just quite annoyed about the structure at Rangers, because Rangers are a top club, everybody knows in Scotland, and they're talking about bringing in like loan players and projects to sell on for money. Now, they're talking about getting rid of Dacres, Hadji, Topper and Mendondo in the January window, and a lot more, like your Kings and that, but they don't really matter. Bringing obviously Ryan Kent back, the obviously being Mendondo going out, just to get the panel's thoughts about it. And Jack McKenzie's maybe signing a pre contract for the summer, and a pre contract.
What a list of rumours this is! I tell you what, if that all happens, good for the show, because we'll be kept very busy. Could Rangers realistically move all of those guys out in January? Do you think?
No.
That. Which ones?
They're under contract unless they're walking into something better as a player. They'll maybe see out to the end of the season, see what options they have.
They won't just sign proper as well. The thing is, for me, you know, what money are you going to get from in January? We already saw the amount of money they've lost on players that they've sold when they did their AGM. For me, financially, you know, you're going to move proper on probably as a free now after spending £1.5 million on him in the summer. You know, Matondo's had his injury problems as well. So for him to leave that football club, Rangers going to have to pay part of his wages. That's the way it's going to work. So he's going to end up costing you money again. I don't think, you know, that those things are feasible at this moment in time. I think, you know, if it gets to the summer, it's a totally different transfer window. But, you know, those 30, 31 days in January, I don't think it will be happening.
Is that why, Scott, the big picture can't be fixed so quickly? We've spoken this week about the AGM and about the, you know, the way things are, and then Philippe Clement talking today about, you know, still trying to have fewer loans at the club. There are still maybe players there that, although I think most of the heavy lifting was done on reducing the wage bill last season, but it's going to take a while, isn't it, to churn that again. Rangers fans just thought they had done this already. That was the point.
Yeah, they did. I think the turnover of players now coming into January, they will have to try and get rid of one or two. But like Marv says, it's really hard, and especially when boys are on certain contracts, if something's not what they fancy, they can sit tight until better options come in the summer. I think this could take 2-3 transfer windows, maybe even more, to get it in a state where they can then go and buy players for a certain amount of money again. I just think right now the most important thing is Philippe Clement getting the best out the players he has at his disposal. That's the main thing for him at this moment in time.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the most important point, is you can talk about 2-3 windows. You've still got the you know, is the budget similar to Celtic's, or it's more than Celtic's? I'm not sure where it sits now, obviously, after the summer. But they've got a very, very big budget. They should be second in the league. You know, that's a bare minimum for them. So you can talk about, you know, 2 or 3 transfer windows down the line. But the ultimate thing is, should be winning games of football now and should be at least second in the league.
Could you see Václav Černý's loan being made permanent, Mark, or is it just too far off to think about those?
The £4 million fee, it's just obviously to look in to see how he would progress at Rangers. Obviously, I create the fee, and I mean the £4 million.
It's nothing worse, though, is there? They say don't fall in love with a lone player sort of thing. And he's had his ups and downs, and he's had his moments with the Rangers fans, but by and large, he's joint top scorer in the Scottish Premiership on 6. I think Dessers and Callum McGregor are up there. He's got 8 goals in the last 2 months. It's exactly the last 2 months today, if you like, in that period. It's 8 goals in that time. If he continues this, and he's used the better he is, the less likely Rangers are to be able to keep him, maybe.
Yeah.
And is that just the...
That's just the way it is, you know. When you do bring in loan players, as you spoke about earlier, they're normally players that are out of your reach financially, whether it's, you know, you can't afford the 100% of their wages or the transfer fee for them. So when they do come in and they do impact it, obviously every single fan and the manager and everyone else at the club wants to keep those players, but it becomes basically impossible. And, you know, if Černý was to do what he's done so far this season, for the rest of the season, Rangers will find themselves in that position. And yes, it becomes frustrating, but the last thing you want to do is tie yourself in to bringing in a player on loan, and then you have to buy them at the end of that loan window, which they've got a couple of players, you know, who they're going to do that with, who Rangers haven't really seen enough of to know if they're going to impact the squad or not. So, yeah, it's just a risk you have to take, unfortunately.
I just think it'll be the same. It'll go down the same road that we've seen with Sima. They just the form's too good. Other teams are interested, and these teams can come in.
What's the optimum level then you want Václav Černý to get to, where he still contributes in a positive sense, but isn't that good, and therefore you might be able to keep him?
I think you have to just accept that you're not going to be able to keep him, and just him to keep just doing what he's doing. Yeah, just enjoy him for this season,
and find the next one.
Yeah, exactly. Hope he goes on, you know, continues to score goals and goal involvements, and keeps playing well. And just say, do you know what, in the summer, you know, can we find the next one?
We said it earlier, Mark. We were asking, is Wednesday night enough to make you excited for a trip to Dingwall?
So probably win about 2-0, but they'll just sit back and obviously up the pressure, and it's going to be hard for Rangers to break them down because it's a tight park. They're going to probably frustrate Rangers.
Well, that's the bit that people are at least hoping was sort of fixed the other night, isn't it? Because all this stuff about, oh, well, it's easier in Europe because teams come out and leave space. Kilmarnock didn't. Kilmarnock were pushed back. Rotten, says Mark. I was thinking more describing where, you know, where they were in the pitch.
Yeah.
But because of what Rangers had, they were able to break that down. Again, maybe it is tighter pitch and all that. I don't know how it translates.
But yeah, listen, it's down to the way they played, and as I said earlier, the way the players moved, and, you know, the rotations that they did have, and players popping up in different positions. You're going up to Dingwall knowing what to expect, so there is no excuses. You know, Clement's been there on more than enough occasions now. Rangers as a football club obviously been there plenty of times. You know they're going to sit and you know what they're going to do. Go and break them down. You know, these players are paid to break these teams down. That's why they're paid, you know, as much money as they are paid to go and do so. So there can't be any excuses for Rangers come Sunday. And as I said, if they, you know, play the same way in attack with the same, you know, tempo and the same freedom as they did against Kilmarnock, they'll have no problem breaking Ross County down. It's only if they go back to the way they played against St Johnstone, it'll become a difficult game.
The intensity that they played that the other night was what we haven't seen from Rangers this season domestically, and that's what they need to bring again.
See, just to state the obvious though, I don't think it alters anything in the long run because they were so convincing, but just a reminder of how important chance taking is.
Yeah.
And I know Philippe Clement's been alluding to that maybe too much at times for some people, because he's been making out a lot that goalkeepers have had like the best game of their careers, which maybe hasn't been the case. However, the other night when Rangers started well, it threatened to dip a little bit, and I was there working and I remember thinking maybe this is another one of these exact same games, but then the goal comes and then it just, you know, it does change everything, doesn't it?
Goals do change games. I think, like we've spoke about it so many times tonight, there's guys now coming in full of confidence. Again, the finish, fantastic. Cherny's been on a game now for the last 6 weeks for me, looks very lively in the 4 days. And it's Hadji, different from the rest of the midfielders, with that extra bit of quality who can open up the gaps and find the threaded passes. That was the difference. The balance of the attacking players all worked in tandem, and that's why they created chances.
Interested to see what Rangers do, though. So much focus on Celtic, whereas Rangers, I think clearly everyone would acknowledge, don't have the same options, don't have the same, aren't in as good a place right now. So if you're saying, right, that team the other night, that's good, do that again tomorrow, fine. Do you do it? Can you do it again tomorrow? Can you do it again against Spurs? Presumably an extra holding midfielder comes back in there. Although I hear they're not in a great place currently.
Yeah.
I don't know what mood Big Ange will be in when he rocks up here to speak to the Scottish press again. and then a cup final.
Listen, because they're playing obviously on a Thursday and then before the cup final, it makes it a lot more difficult. And also going up to Dingwall on Sunday, I think I'd be tempted to, if I was a Rangers manager, to take players out against Spurs and, you know, put all my eggs in one basket for that cup final. I really would, and I know Rangers fans wouldn't want to accept that, but I think if, you know, you can keep your players fresh and then go into Sunday's game and, you know, really make it difficult for Celtic and potentially win a cup final, I think all of a sudden it becomes accepted.
What do you think making it difficult for Celtic looks like for this Rangers side?
I think it's having a plan to attack them, and it's also having a plan to,
because they
helped having it with Maeda.
They did do that in the first game. They went out with the high press and it worked for 5 minutes, and then when Celtic worked them out,
I don't think you need to have the high press. Look what Aberdeen did against Celtic. That, you know, they came into almost the halfway line, they allowed it to go to certain areas, then nicked the ball. So it's having a game plan when you don't have the ball. You don't have to go after Celtic, because if you do, they'll play through you. They've got players of enough quality, but sit off them, and then when we turn the ball over, can we be direct and can we give them trouble? You know, listen, at this moment in time, Celtic look unstoppable, but it's trying to find a way that you can kind of find a chink in that armour.
There's been a good sort of like slag Marvin theme running through the last half an hour of the show, and more on Twitter. DDWDSC says, have sports seen done him dirty here? Did you see this? The caption they put up for you the other night?
No.
Was that the other night? You're on so many shows, it's hard to keep up.
With Naismith.
Yeah, so just said, Marvin Bartley, 2 goals in 102 top flight appearances.
Heading me on.
Hibs and Livy. I think they have.
That's those poor. 2 goals both came at Livy as well. So it could have been even worse.
That's so good. Because they could have just put like former Hibs and Livingston midfielder.
Because Naismith, I think, had his goal next to him. So obviously someone just got lazy and said, oh, let's put goals for both of them.
That is,
they could have done me like slide tackles or something. That would have been
I'm
a much better
that up, Larry, but just former Hibs and Livy midfielder would
simplify that.
Two
that.
Goals former Livingston assistant manager.
I'm delighted with 2 goals.
2 goals and 102 top flight appearances for Hibs and Livy. It's, I take it you played for Hibs in the Championship as well.
Yeah.
Scoring them?
Nah.
Right. Nah.
I think I scored an own goal actually in the Champ.
Is there not like a famous one of those, someone will send me it, where it's like some guy appeared on, I think it was Sky, and the caption they put up was, it was something like one scored in an under 17 third place playoff or something. Like, you know, like the most lukewarm stat you could imagine.
That's poor, that, isn't it? To be fair, two
funny.
Goals, 102 appearances.
That's not a bad ratio. Holding midfielder.
I get that from you.
I think Gordon just thinks it's a bizarre kind of stat.
using that for
you doesn't get somebody sacked, by the way.
Right, tonight's teaser. Who are the last 8 different League Cup final losing captains? David Gray, Marvin Bartley, and Paul Hanlon.
James Tavernier.
Yes, 2022.
Graham Shinney.
Yep, 2023.
Shankland.
By the way, Shinney's in there twice, so I'll take him out. Shankland, no. Oh, by the way, Tavernier's in there again as well. So you've only got three new names to get. And we'll get them after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Marvin Bartley and Scott Allen are here. You can call us, you can still tweet as well. Jordy Gaz has done it. He's picked up on the one I was alluding to. It's a player called Richie Sadler, and it says scored in a UEFA European under 18 third place playoff.
He played in England, didn't he?
That was his caption. So the yours is only slightly worse than that. Two goals and 102 like top flight appearances.
One of them was against Hearts,
for Hibs and Livingston. How are you doing on this teaser? Can you name the last eight different League Cup final losing captains between 2015 and 2053? So 2053? 2023. David Gray, Paul Hanlon, Marvin Bartley, Graham Shinney, James Tavernier. Three to get.
Scott Brown?
Nope. Oh, don't like your silence there.
St. Mirren one in there.
No, there isn't. No. Think if I were you, who did Brendan Rodgers' first Celtic team tend to beat in finals a lot?
Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm. So who would we be thinking
Ryan
there?
Jack.
Ryan Jack.
Oh,
okay.
Nice,
right, two to get, and we'll get them before the end of the show. Now, at this stage in the week, we quite often get the results of the latest Scottish FA KMI panel. That's just where the panel meets. They look at the VAR decisions. They decide whether they think errors were made or not. I love these because if you want to, you'll take them as gospel and go, "Ah, see, well, look at what that panel said." And if you don't, you say, "Well, it's five other people that look at it, and they might still reach a different opinion to you." So it's not that deep. Whatever you want. We don't always really have to talk about it on a Friday because quite often they think they either got everything right or it's close or nothing that controversial. But a few interesting ones this week. One that surprised me because I don't remember a big deal about it at the time. And I didn't actually personally, not that anyone cares what I think, didn't think it really did meet that new bar for handball. But this panel thought that Jack Sanders, St Johnstone, did handball and Rangers should have had a penalty in Perth last weekend. Is that one that does it for you?
No, not for me. Not for me at all. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
You think it does?
No, it's not. No, it's not a penalty in a million years.
Like I say, let's not get all heated up about, "Oh, it's Rangers," and you're saying that. I don't mean any of that. Yeah. I just thought, given the way that it was meant to be this season, with the kind of higher bar, it just didn't strike me as one that people would be, because you know you're looking now for the really high arm and stuff like that. And I didn't think he had it, but fair play, the panel do. He does.
He goes to stretch, doesn't he? He goes to block it with his right foot, and it's a natural position for your hand. You know, he overstretches because it's Jeffy's putting the ball in, goes to try and block it. Yes, it hits his hand, but it's in a natural position. It's down near his knee. He just misjudges it slightly. And like you said, that's a place where we don't want to be. We don't want penalties given for that. I think when, you know, VAR first came in, it would have been probably given as a penalty because we had a huge problem with giving penalty kicks for handballs. Some of them were ludicrous, to say the least. I think we've gotten to a much better place now. And for me, that, you know, that falls into the category of being ludicrous rather than, you know, where we are currently at this day.
Well, you think you're in a better place until they review it and think that that is a penalty.
It's just to add a layer, though, of, you know, scrutiny or analysis. It's five people. Some of these decisions are split 3-2. Okay. You know, it's people will use it as gospel when it suits. It's just another interesting kind of layer to it all. The other ones that were in there, and I knew this game would dominate, to be fair, because a lot of people do have issues with it. The panel thought there should have been a red card for Jack Walton, Dundee United keeper, when he ran out against St Mirren and chopped down Olasanya.
Yeah.
Agree with that?
Yeah, that was a bad one.
So the nature of the tackle, not denying an obvious goal scoring
opportunity. The pace of the tackle, the height of the tackle, everything. It ticks a lot of boxes for me. I think that was a red card.
Yep, I would agree with that. Right, the intensity that he came out at.
Maybe these two are on the panel. There you go. So you've got to start.
Is that a silent panel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silent disco.
Yep.
The same game. In this one, spoiler, because he won his appeal for the red card, so kind of tells you all you need to know. There should not have been a VAR intervention to recommend a red card for St Mirren's Marcus Fraser against Dundee United. I know this gets confusing and boring. It is completely separate from the appeals panel. This is just an independent, well, they're both actually independent in their own way, so they're not really linked. But like I say, there should be a spoiler there. He won his appeal, so no surprise that the KMI panel thought that was a mistake. They also thought that Aberdeen's Jack Milne should have been sent off for that lunge at the end of the game at Benny Hearts Beninga last week. What about that one?
Yeah, again, that's a red card for me. I think the intensity he goes in at, I know people are saying, "Oh, when he actually ends up catching him, Beningame's foot's on the floor." But if his foot's maybe an inch or 2 inches closer to where he lunges in, that's a broken ankle. For me, he's out of control. You know, he's lunging through the air. And listen, it's a young man. I know you don't want him to get sent off, but for me, you know, by today's rules, that is a red card, definitely.
Do you think that was a red?
Yeah, that was a challenge, Marv. Didn't mean to.
Stubbs, you just said play on.
So it would have been a red for you.
Yeah, red for both, yeah.
So there we go. We'll add our own panel's verdict. So the KMI panel say there were four errors. These two think there were only three. But whatever, there we go. They've ruled one of them out. They didn't think the handball was worth looking at. But each to their own. It's subjective, as they say. So we'll... And then, of course, if I'm still allowed to speak to him and he's not got a restraining order, we'll find out soon what Willie Collum thought of it.
Oh, have you not seen him recently?
Well, it's like once a month usually, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Messaging or...
No. We stay apart. We want to keep it professional. Anyway, what else are you thinking ahead of tomorrow? What have we not mentioned that we need to? We did have an angry Motherwell caller on. They go to St Mirren. It doesn't tend to be the place you want to go when you need something. But I don't know, sometimes that it can work the other way.
That can be a difficult game, I think. St Mirren up at home, or Motherwell obviously paying them away. Yeah, I think that'd be a tough one. I think we spoke about it, you know, McGinn and O'Donnell missing for Motherwell have been absolutely massive. And it's one of those things that sometimes you don't know what you're missing until it's kind of gone. And luckily for Motherwell, they're only injured. I know Sod's had his critics, but he never lets Motherwell down. He's 100% communication, you know, experience. You know, those things are invaluable for Motherwell.
He communicates, all right, blimey.
Leave the guy alone.
Get him to shop.
So you need those two.
It's difficult, I have to say. We love him dearly. So that's obviously a big one. You're looking at Aberdeen. You know, again, if we're talking about, okay, you're allowed to play well and lose narrowly to Celtic. Yeah. You're allowed to play well and draw at Tynecastle. Mm-hmm. They've had a couple of bumps home at St Johnstone. This is where people are really seeing, are you still on? Are you still on the right track? Or
the players will be thinking that as well. It'll be like one of those that you're in that dressing room, you've had a couple of difficult games, had a brilliant start, and all Jimmy Tilling will be saying to his players, I'll just be posting the league table and saying, this is where we're at in the league at this moment in time. You know, can we kick on now?
Right, we're looking for two more League Cup final losing captains since 2015. You've got David Gray, Ryan Jack, Graham Shinney, James Tavernier, Marvin Bartley, Paul Hanlon.
Difficult.
Silence. Dundee United.
I told you Dundee United. You told me no.
2015. Is that the one where... Would that be when Mackay Stephen and Armstrong just moved? Am I getting my time frame totally mixed up there?
2015.
You're not a Celtic at that point?
Yes.
Great. Played against Dundee United.
No.
No, he's at Hibs.
I was at Hibs. Just
Oh, sorry.
Because you went, 2016.
Armstrong? Sean Dillon.
Sean Dillon.
And Motherwell. 2017, remember, reached both cup finals against Celtic.
Declan Gallagher.
No. I don't think you'll get him. Is he now playing in India or something? I don't think.
Tom Aldred.
Nope. He's there as well. I think there's a few of them there, so I shouldn't have said that.
Centre-half?
Nah, midfielder. He played centre-half sometimes, midfielder. Was out with a really bad head knock for ages. That, like, delayed concussion thing or whatever it's called. And sorry for any doctors who are listening.
She's initials.
Butchered that. His surname's kind of like the first name of Mr. Keevens. Carl McHugh.
Who?
Carl McHugh. Never mind.
Wow.
Thanks to Marvin and thanks to Scott, even though he broke the TV. We might see him again, we might not. We'll wait and find out. But we are back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us, and the GBX is up next.